Randall, I yell. Get Junior. Randall jackknifes out of the truck, and he's a long black line streaking around the corner of the house where Junior has gone. And then I hear him banging underneath the house. Junior is laid so flat I can't see him. Junior, Randall yells. Get from under there. Junior is silent. You gonna make me come under there and get you, Randall says from between clenched teeth. And he must be crawling, because Junior has popped up on my side of the house and is trying to run, his eyes white and rolling like a rabbit's. But I have him, and he's kicking, kicking, and I'm surprised he doesn't have fur. What did he do? Randall walks around the corner, the front of him red with dirt. He had Daddy's wedding ring. He what? Randall is frowning. He had Daddy's wedding ring. He found it on the finger and took it off. It was in his pocket. Each word makes Randall's face slide and break until it looks like a broken glass with all the lines in it, and I know it's because he can't believe what I'm saying. Boy, what the hell is wrong with you? Randall yells. He yanks Junior from me, and his other hand comes down hard on Junior's skinny bottom. What is wrong with you? Randall yells. His voice is higher. He hits Junior again. Junior! Junior runs in circles from Randall's hand, so they spin. But Randall is faster and stronger, and his hand comes down again and again. That's so nasty! You could have got a disease! Randall slaps twice, and his hand is as stiff as a board. Why did you do it?
She gave it to him,
Junior wails. His voice is a siren.
And it was no good for him no more,
he sobs.
I wanted it,
he wails.
Her!
Skeeter laughs when we tell him what Junior did. He's dead wild. He's bad. Did y'all at least find it? He gonna be up there trying to stash it somewhere. I did, I say. It was on my bed, and I picked it up with a handful of toilet paper and washed it off in the sink. The gold was dull and old, and almost silvery pale, and nothing about it looked like it had ever touched Mama's skin. It was covered in blood. I'd thrown up after I cleaned it. Junior is hiccuping, bent over double into the top of the toolbox on the back of Daddy's truck, picking out nails. His sobbing hiccups echo up and out of the metal, loudly. He drops the nails he finds on the truck bed, and they ping.
What'd you do with it?
Asks Skeeter. I put it in my top drawer, I say. Skeeter laughs. His teeth are milky, his smile wide.
We should look for the fingers. That's free protein.
He laughs.
We could feed them to China.
Shut up, that's so nasty, I say.
Don't know what's wrong with him.
Randall shakes his head. Skeeter laughs as he walks into the shed, pulling the wood behind him. But we can still hear him chuckling and talking to himself minutes later. When Big Henry drives up to pick Skeeter up, Skeeter's tugging the tin back over the doorway of the shed, smiling into his shirt. Big Henry parks and walks up slowly, a cold drink in his hand, and I'm surprised it's not a beer. I nod at Big Henry, but stand with my arms folded in the truck bed behind Junior, who is still hiccuping and dripping snot into the toolbox.
What's wrong with him?
Big Henry asks, and I glance over to see that he's looking at me, asking me. He shaved the stray hair and goatee off his face, so it's smooth and lighter than the rest of him, and looks soft with the sweat making it shine. I look at Junior's narrow, bony back. He drops another nail. Ping!
Come on!
Skeeter laughs, and they leave.
Cover the windows.
I make Junior hold the nails in his shirt and stand next to Randall and me as we try to match board size up to windows, drag them around the house, set them down where they'll be nailed. Randall has the one hammer with a full handle we could find. It's my job to hold a wooden place at the bottom, at least as far as I can reach, while Randall drives the nails in. Junior's breathing and shudders. He's trying to swallow his lip each time. There's always glass showing after we nail the boards, an eye's worth or a hand's worth, no matter how we switch the wooden pieces and shuffle. Randall concentrates, but he still smashes two of his fingers, skipping around in tight circles like he's running a drill, cussing under his breath. Junior breaks his hiccup breathing to giggle then. So do I. The clay has turned to dust for want of rain, and when Randall nails, the board shivers and drizzles red down on my head from where the dirt is caked.
Bring the jugs of water in.
The glass jugs me and Junior fished from under the house are sitting in the kitchen in clusters. They look like tadpole sacks huddled together, sticking to each other for company, cloudy at the heart. When Junior and I brought them in, they were dusty, opaque. I rinse a dish rag for Junior and one for me, and we sit on the floor in the kitchen and we scrub. This is a hurricane eclipse. The wood over the windows, the inside of the house so dark that the white of Junior's shirt is the brightest thing. We sit in the square of light left by the open door, and we wipe the rags pink. This is what we'll drink. This is what we'll use to cook. Randall's trying to fill the holes in the wood, but he can't. There isn't enough wood. Light cuts through the house, slinky and thin as electricity lines from the chinks of exposed glass. Daddy gets up out of bed, cussing and banging into things, and stumbles to the bathroom. He throws up. He yells for water, and I make Junior bring it. When I pee, I take the flashlight I found in Daddy's toolbox to see that Daddy's missed the toilet, and that there's throw-up on the bathroom floor. I clean it up with the rags we wipe the jugs with. When we take the rags outside to rinse them under the hose instead of in the sink full of dishes, they run yellow and red.
Fill my gas tank.
Junior sits in the middle, his legs dangling, black and skinny. Randall drives. I let my hand fall out of the passenger window, let the wind pick it up, bear down on it, take it as if it's holding it. Both windows are down because Daddy has no air conditioning, and my legs stick to the rugs that Mama laid over the seat when we were small, and the upholstery would get so hot in the summer, it would feel like it was melting our skin. It's too hot for them kids, she'd said, and she'd beaten the rugs until they were clean, and then she'd washed them, and then she'd tucked them over the seats. Before Randall sat in the driver's seat, I could see that Daddy had worn his side thin. The rest of the fabric feels almost as thick as when Mama put it in. I remember it had itched the first time I rode in the truck cab with them, but I hadn't complained. Back then, we'd all fit in the cab, and there was no seatbelt law. Now we ride up and through the country toward the interstate where the closest gas station is. The pines whistle and whip at the side of the road. The fitful wind makes them dance. The stripe of sky ahead and over the pines is overcast, gray, and then the sun will shine through it in fits, burn through like fire through wax paper. At the gas station, Randall doesn't even let Junior get out so he can go in the store and find something to beg for. I go inside and pay with cash, and Randall pumps. The AC is so cold and the fluorescent light so bright that it makes it hard for me to breathe. I feel hot, my body sodden as a dripping sponge, my breast and stomach full of boiling water, my limbs burning. Randall fills the tank, and on the way back, he opens up the truck on the back road, presses the gas. We tear down the asphalt, past the trees. The engine howls. We beat the sky and the wind. Junior bares his teeth and grins.
Cook whatever's in the refrigerator.
There are 6 eggs in the refrigerator, a few cups of cold rice, 3 pieces of bologna, an empty cardboard box from the gas station that holds chicken bones sucked dry, a 1/2 gallon of milk, ketchup and mayonnaise. The stove is gas, so when Randall lights the burners, the kitchen glows orange and shadows climb the walls. The day tries to light the open doorway and fails. Junior sits in that dim light of the door, his chin on his knees, hugging his legs. He draws designs in the dirt on the floor. He's mad because Randall told him that no, he couldn't watch TV, that he was still in trouble. Randall fries the eggs with the bacon grease Daddy keeps in the old community coffee tin on the counter. He dumps in the rice and Creole seasoning. I fry the bologna slices, and China must smell them because she starts barking, loud, begging barks. On 4 plates, we divide the eggs and rice, the bologna sliced in half, saving a little for Skeeta. Junior and Randall drink the milk. I bring Daddy his plate, but he's asleep, so I set it on his dresser and leave him there, dozing in the cave of his room. It's dark, but he still sleeps with his bad arm over his eyes.
Park my truck in the clearing by the pit.
The only real clearing on the pit is by the pit. They had to cut trees so they'd have room to maneuver the dump trucks to open the earth. Randall drives Daddy's truck around the house, skirts the trees, the mirrors barely clearing on each side. The chickens scatter before the truck, clucking in complaint, the wind picking them up so they fly in clumsy leaps. Randall parks next to the makeshift grill we cook the squirrel on. There are tiny lumps of black char stuck to the metal, and red ants stream over it, a living line. While we're rolling up the windows of the truck and locking the toolbox, Junior kneels next to the grill. By the time we're done, Randall shakes his head at Junior, tells him, "Come on." Junior's fingers in the middle of the ants, and they have diffused to a puddle over his hand. They are all curving, all stinging, all burying their bites in his skin. Junior has a prideful look on his face, says,
"Look how long I can do it."
When Randall grabs him by the arm and I brush the ants away, Junior's skin is puffy, white and red bumps swelling under the skin.
"What is wrong with you, Junior?" Randall asks. "Get the cheapest you can get," Randall had said.
So when Skeeta and Big Henry began unloading the trunk, I expect cardboard boxes cut in half, full of tomato soup. Skeeta pulls out a big bag of dog food, hoists it up over his shoulder, and carries it to the shed. Then he pulls out another 50-pound bag of dog food and dumps it next to the first, where they sit like lumpy twins. China is barking, high-pitched from the shed. She's hungry.
"All right," Skeeta yells, and she stops mid-bark, swallows it.
He slides the tin shed over, and she walks out, calmly, brushes him with her head, noses his pants, licks his hand. He squats and rubs her. Randall and Junior and I have been sitting in the front yard for the past hour or so. Job's done. The house is too dark, too hot. It's a closed fist. Junior had been playing with an old extension cord, using it like a rope. He'd kept tying it to trees and twirling the cord like a jump rope. The tree was his partner, but he had no one to jump in the middle. Finally, Randall untied the cord, and I walked over and grabbed the other end. While the sky was darkening, the sun shining more fitfully through the clouds, we turned the cord for Junior, and he jumped in the dust. Randall walks to the car first. There are 2 boxes shoved in the corner of the trunk, the tops open and folded apart. In one, there are around 15 cans of peas, green writing on silver, and a few of potted meat, and in the second box, there are 2 dozen bags of top ramen. Randall grabs the box with the peas and meat in it, and I grab the box with the ramen. Randall holds his box with one arm, his muscles knotting, and shrugs at Skeeta, raises his hand like he's throwing a ball in the air toward a goal raised too high.
Why did you get all these peas?
It's all they had.
And only 3 potted meats?
They was wiped out, last things on the shelves. I told you not to get nothing that need to be cooked. What we gonna do with this box full of top ramen? We gonna eat it.
Skeeta looked up from China. He's checking her breasts, peeling back the tan wrap to see the scabs that line the red, watery wounds. China licks his forearm.
What we gonna cook the ramen with? You know the electricity go out in a thunderstorm. What you think it's gonna do in a hurricane?
We got the grill in the woods. We can cook them over a fire.
The wood is going to be wet.
It ain't even gonna be that big of a deal.
Probably turn and miss us.
No, Skeet. We've been listening to the radio all day. It's a Category 3 and it's coming right for us.
Got 2 sacks of dog food. How long you think these peas gonna last us?
We got other stuff in the house.
I hate peas. My stomach, which has lately been pulling at me, driving me to eat at all hours of the day to feed the baby, burns.
Barely enough to feed 5 people,
I say, my voice harder than I've ever heard it. Skeeta unwraps China's breast, and it hangs free, already bruised and wilted from disuse. It's a dark mark on her, marring what was once so white, so pristine. The scar makes what remains even more beautiful. Skeeta looks at China like he would dive into her if he could and drown.
You ever tasted dog food?
Skeeta asks. Randall's box jerks, and he looks as if he wants to throw it. Big Henry closes the trunk, holds up his big hands palm out like he would calm us.
Man, we got a little extra. Me and Mama got cases of cold drinks and canned goods at the beginning of the summer, and we've been eating from her garden since, trying to save them. Sure, Marquis got some extra, since his mama be hollering about him eating too much, since they trying to make sure they got enough to eat just in case, too. Skeeta, you ain't gotta eat dog food.
It's salty. Tastes like pecans. And if worst comes to worst, we can eat like China.
Skeeta rubs China from her shoulders to her neck, up along her razor jaw, and holds her face, which goes wrinkly with the skin smashed forward. It looks like he's pulling her to him for a kiss. She squints. I want to kick her. Randall shoulders his box, grabs the ramen box from me, and turns to walk into the house. Junior's tying his cord around an old lawnmower now, pulling at it like he's playing tug of war. The sun shines, blazes like fire, funnels down in the gaps between the trees, and lights up Skeeta and China so that they glow, each kneeling before the other, eyes together. Skeeta has already forgotten the conversation, and China never heard it.
We ain't no dogs, Randall says, and you ain't either.
He walks between the thumb and pointer finger of the house. It clenches, and he is gone. The day goes cloudy and stays. The 10th day, in the endless eye. I ate Skeet's eggs and bologna. He was out in the shed with China cleaning her. I ate them all. I cleaned the plate with my tongue, licked the plate clean.
I could have eaten the plate.
Randall glanced at me once, and then went to pulling all the cans out of the cabinets. We sat at the kitchen table and divided and stacked and counted. 24 cans of peas, 5 cans of potted meat, 1 can of tomato paste, 6 cans of soup, 4 cans of sardines, 1 can of corn, 5 cans of tuna fish, 1 box of saltine crackers, some corn flakes we could eat without milk. The rice, sugar, flour, and cornmeal were useless. There were 35 top ramen noodle packs.
Shit!
Randall yelled and threw the can of tomato paste he was holding across the room. Outside, the wind pushed between the buildings. After breakfast, I hear them talking while I'm in the bathroom. The rooster's crowing outside, and China answers him, barking. They're in Daddy's room. When I pee and lean over to grab the toilet paper, my belly pushes into the tops of my thighs, insistent. I ignore it, ease open the door, and creep down the hallway so I can listen to Randall and Daddy through the open door.
I know, Randall says, but we still don't have enough.
Y'all eat them dry anyway.
Junior eat them dry. Nobody else do.
Daddy breathes so hard, I can hear it catching on mucus in his throat, and then he coughs it out.
I got enough money in case there's an emergency after the storm. Never know what will happen.
But what about...
It's just a few hundred, son.
Daddy wheezes. He has only ever called Randall that, and he's only done so a few times.
I made sure we had enough canned goods to last us a few days. No more, no less.
I don't think it's enough.
FEMA and Red Cross always come through with food. We got that much. If it's not too bad, might still have gas.
Everybody's still growing, Daddy. Esh, Junior, me, even Skeet. We all hungry.
We make do with what we got.
Daddy coughs.
Always have and will.
He clears his throat, spits.
Your mama,
he says, and stops.
Y'all found my wedding ring.
Yeah, Junior did, Randall said. I'll go get it.
And then there's just the sound of the box fan blowing hard and steady from Daddy's dresser, moving the hot air a few feet before dying in the hot box of his room. I follow him into me and Junior's room, root through my drawer, find the ring, sit it in the middle of his sweaty hand so that he can return it to Daddy, who will slip it into his pants pocket, his shirt pocket, on a chain around his neck, anywhere that it'll still touch his skin since he's lost the finger for it. Only Daddy can stand being inside the house, dark and close. All of us, as soon as we can, are outside. There's a blue-gray sheet over the sky, and there's no sun, and the day is only better than the house because there's a pushy wind blowing, the kind that drags at my clothes and shows my body for what it is. The light comes from everywhere and nowhere. The chickens are sitting in a low tree, on some old fence posts, on an old washing machine, on the dump truck and the bonfire wood of their collapsed chicken coop. They huddle, and it's as if they can't bear to be on the ground, in the blowing dirt. I sit on the steps, Junior beside me, his wet skin to mine, Randall on the gas tank with his ball, throwing it up and catching it before the sulky wind can take it away. Skeeter is building a pile of things outside of the shed. I would say that he's cleaning the shed out, but I can't, since he's not taking out any of the tools, the oil drums, the broken lawn mowers and bike frames, and pots for plants. His pile is all for China. Dog food, chains, leashes, blankets, her food bowls. He washes out her bowls with his hands and sits them on the step next to Junior and me, where they sweat small puddles. He carries her blanket to the clothesline and hangs it, and then he bends in two, crouching through the junk in the yard for something.
What he doing? Junior asks.
I shrug. Skeeta straightens up with a large stick in his hand, a branch knocked loose by a rainstorm, and begins beating the blanket. Dirt showers down, fitful as cold rain. Some of it floats a little longer than it should. A slow cloud. And I realize that some of China is in the blanket, that her hair is coming away. It makes me think of cereal and milk, of Rice Krispies and sugar. We need more food, I say. Randall catches his ball, hugs it to his stomach. Any ideas? I suck my lips, feel like chewing something. Not yet, I say. Randall frowns. Junior lays his head on my shoulder. I'm tired, he says. I want to say, it's too hot for you to be hanging on me. But I look at his baseball knees, his head, which seems too big and heavy for his stringy neck, and instead I say, do you want some noodles? Yeah. Skeeta is frowning, beating the blanket clean. China starts from her crouch, where she's been sitting next to the bucket, running from the first dig of her toes into the dirt. She runs up to the pilings that were the chicken coop and leaps, grinning, barking. She's trying to lick their feathers. The chickens bear down, huddle. China flies past, turns to the fence posts, jumps there, almost meeting them with her head. They squawk and hop, alight again on the wood. She ignores a dozen in the tree and races for the washing machine. She flies and lands on it, and the chickens roosting there scatter. Skeet! I yell. China! Skeet calls and hits the blanket again. I go into the dark house to cook Junior's noodles, and Daddy sleeps so hard and it's so quiet that it feels like I'm alone there. We should look for eggs, says Randall. He says this while Junior is sitting on the steps, his face buried in the bowl, slurping at the soupy water left after he had sucked the ramen in long, wormy strings over his chin and into his lips. He hates when I break the noodles before I boil them in the pot. They need to be in the refrigerator. We can boil them. They'll keep for days. Junior's drinking the last of the soup, still hunched over the bowl. I wish I'd made myself some. My tongue turns loose at the idea of salt. Junior's back is a young turtle's shell, so thin it would snap if stepped on. Skeeta's piling the folded blanket on top of the food bags, along with the leashes, and China's practice tires, and the syringes, and the medicine he stole from the farmer. Junior sticks his finger into the bowl, wipes it along the bottom to get the seasoning, and licks it. He bangs into the kitchen, throws the bowl into the sink, and bangs back out. He runs over to Randall, the soles of his feet flashing yellow, the color of China's eyes. You should put some shoes on, I say. You coming, Skeet? He asks, as Randall slides from the gas tank, upright, already squinting into the woods, the dust, the wind. I'll catch up. Gotta exercise China. She gonna be cooped up and she ain't gonna like it. Randall shakes his head and walks around the washing machine, the lawnmower, the old broken RV like he's finding his way through a maze. The chickens cluck at him, ruffle and settle their feathers against the pushing air as he passes. I'm hungry. We could use more eyes, I say. Mama taught you how to do it too, and you know Junior don't know how to spot them yet. In a minute. Skeeta shrugs. China's at his knee, lets her head fall to the side, tongue out, as if it's the first time she's ever seen me. Her ears fold over like napkins. I sigh. Don't even know if you can hear it over the wind. And follow Randall into the detritus of the yard to hunt. The wind pushes against me so hard that I imagine it's the wind Medea called up after she slew her brother, to push the boat so quickly
that the wake was a bloody froth. I barely had the energy to walk, to push back. On mornings like this, when I'm hungry, the nausea is always worse. There's the sound of China scrambling against Skeeta, of the tin shed shaking, of him laughing and China barking, but I leave them to it behind me and keep my eyes on the ground. The chickens have made their own plans for the storm. They've packed their eggs away, hidden them well. As Randall and Junior and I spread out underneath the oaks and the pines, hunting, Randall crouches down to Junior, and he tells him how Mama taught us to find eggs. "Look, but don't look," she said. "They'll find you. You gotta wander, and they'll come." She'd leaned over like Randall, her strong hand soft on the back of my neck, steadying me like a dog. "They're usually brown and have some feathers stuck to them," she'd say, pointing. "The eggs look that way because of the mama. Whatever color the mama is, that's what color the egg is." Her lips were pink, and when she leaned over like that, I could smell baby powder drifting from the front of her dress, see the mole-marked skin of her chest, the soft fall of her breast down into her bra. "Like me and you," she said. "Like me and you, see?" She smiled at me, and her eyelashes met her eyelashes like a Venus flytrap. Her thick arm would rub against mine, and I would follow her pointing, and there would be a whole treasure of eggs nestled one against the other, cream and white and brown and dark brown and speckled so that they almost looked black. The hens would lurk, murmuring. "The cock, he always running off being a bully," she said. "But the mama always here, see?" The pine shrug in a sky that covers like a wet t-shirt. Below, Randall fills Junior's shirt with eggs that they gather from the most difficult places, places that only Junior with his pin fingers can reach, in the elbows of the dump truck's engine, between the bottom of an old stinking refrigerator and the earth, wedged into the coils of a mattress chewed bare by animals. I search and find nothing. The eggs in the front of Junior's shirt are warm. They pull the front of the neck down to a V, and where his collarbones meet, it looks like two marbles against the skin. I set the eggs in the black pebbled pot that Mama used to cook gumbo in, count them as they roll and settle. Randall holds the side of Junior's shirt because Junior seems to be bending to the roll of the eggs. 24. There are 24 eggs to boil, to save, to eat. They are something. When Manny appears, there's no sun to reach out its hand to stroke him like a dog, to make him blaze and shine. He doesn't burn, but still, there's something about him that glows, like a fire that's dying and the heat lives in the ashes plain. I see him first because I'm sitting on the steps. Junior's and Randall's backs are to him as they place the eggs in the pot. When Manny sees me looking at him, he catches on the secret midwalk like it's an untied shoestring and his eyes go wide, wider in his face. But he keeps walking, becoming larger and more real in the gloom and wind and shaking green of the day until his footsteps are louder than the insects, which quiet one by one as if he's the coming storm. "Where do they go?" I think. And he's looking at Randall's back, not my eyes. And I hate him, and I wonder if I will ever stop loving him. "Cuz," he says. Randall almost drops the 24th egg he holds. "Shit," Randall says and turns. "Sorry." Manny's shoulders. I loved his shoulders and his neck most of all. I want to open my mouth on his neck just once. He's the lightest thing in the clearing. I want to have him blazing over me again just once. But he looks at Randall and he half grins. It's only then that I can see the scar on his face, the skin pulling wrong. He hasn't come here for me.
We talk?
Randall bends, places the last egg in the pot, puts the pot in my arms, and talks to Manny but looks at me.
Yeah, he says. Can you start these?
They walk outside together, stop at the foot of the back steps. I stand with the pot. The eggs wobble against one another, sound like rocks at the bottom of a dry creek rolling from a foot.
Junior, go play,
Randall calls through the door. Junior shoots away, freed from his chores. He's all bald head and blurred arms and legs. I run water into the pot in the sink until it covers the eggs.
Skeeter ain't here.
Think he's somewhere off in the woods running China.
She's a beast.
Yeah.
I sprinkle salt into the water, but there's more rice than salt in the shaker.
Coach call you about the game?
Said they was paying for Bodine to go to camp.
I didn't know.
I light the stove with a match and set it to boil. I stand a few feet away from the door in the dark of the kitchen so they can't see me, and I squint through the screen.
I'm sorry, Manny says.
Well, Randall sighs.
I don't know what happened.
My best friend got into a fight with my brother is what happened.
I had other shit on my mind. Wasn't nothing against Skeet.
He don't think that. He think you made him poison his dog.
I wouldn't do no bullshit like that. You know me.
Randall has nothing in his hands. Manny fans his face like he's waving away gnats.
He also think you dogging my sister.
Randall, come on, man.
What you want?
We like family.
Manny shoves his hands into his pockets and bends in like he's curling for a blow, as if he's ashamed to say what he said.
Rico, your family. I ain't blood.
Like blood?
That's the problem.
Randall shakes his head like a horse trying to fling off reins.
I'm the only one.
That ain't true.
Yeah, it is.
I done watched Junior grow up with all of y'all. That's real.
What about Esh and Skeet?
Them too.
No, Randall says. It's not the same.
Bubbles of air, tiny as those that rise up out of the mouths of fish and water, rise from the bottom of the pot, gather in the middle. Vapor mists from the center.
I got shit to do. I'll see you later.
Randall walks into the kitchen, and I look up from the pot like I haven't been standing on my tiptoes in the faint blue light of the burner's fire, like I haven't been listening.
It's gonna take forever to boil. Leave it, Randall says.
He doesn't look at me when he says it, tall and straight. He stalks past, closes the door to his room. I hear it shut, and I'm out the screen door, running still on my tiptoes, feet barely touching the ground. There he is. There, receding under the trees, a setting sun. I jump the ditch to the road.
Wait!
I call. My voice is higher than I've ever heard it. Manny stops, turning, and his face is a magnolia flower tossing in the wind. His eyes, the bright yellow heart. Now I see it, now I don't.
What?
He says when I catch up to him.
Randall wanted something?
Manny's eyes slide past me to the ditch, to the road, up to the sky the color of scoured pan.
No,
I say.
Me. I gotta go.
He turns, shows me the back of his head, his hair, his shoulders. Now I see it, now I don't.
I'm pregnant.
He stops in profile, his nose like a knife.
And?
His hair grows so fast it's already starting to curl. Sweat beads at his hairline. It's yours.
What?
Yours. Manny shakes his head. The knife cuts. The sweat rolls down his scar. It's flung out onto the rotten asphalt.
I ain't got nothing here, he says.
Manny blinks at me when he says it. Looks at me head on for the second time ever.
Nothing.
Nothing. For some reason, I see Skeeta when I blink. Skeeta kneeling next to China. Always kneeling, always stroking and loving and knowing her. Skeeta's face when he stood across from Rico, when he told China, make them know. I'm on him like China. I fought Skeeta and Randall for play when we were younger. Once I punched Skeeta in the stomach when we were wrestling and my arms felt like noodles, like he had no muscle to hit and I had no muscle to hit him with. I kicked Randall in the chest when he was picking with me and knocked the wind out of him. Once I fought a girl in the middle school locker room for laughing at my budding breasts. She sneered that I needed to tell my mama that I needed a training bra. My mama was 4 years dead then. That girl plucked my shirt where a bra strap would be and pushed me, and I turned back on her and swung blind, trying to smash her face in, kicking at her legs, elbowing her, beating her with my whole body. She was twice my size, but I surprised her before she was able to push me off. I fell over the bench and the lockers cut a gash in my arm, but I left that girl with a knot rising purple on her head and a lip pink and tender as a pickled pig's lips in a jar. She always says hello to me when she sees me in the hallway, 3 years after the fact. I am fast. I'm slapping him over and over, my hands a flurry, a black blur. His face is hot and stinging as boiling water.
Hey! Hey! Manny yells.
He blocks what he can with his elbows and forearms, but still I snake through. I slap so hard my hands hurt.
I love you.
Ish!
The skin on his throat is red, his scar white.
I loved you!
I hit his Adam's apple with the V where my thumb and pointer finger cross. He chokes.
I loved you!
This is Medea wielding the knife. This is Medea cutting. I rake my fingernails across his face, leave pink scratches that turn red, fill with blood.
Stupid bitch! What is wrong with you? You!
Manny grabs me under my armpits, picks me up off the ground and throws. I fly backward. My toes land first, skimming the road, and then my heels thud, but I'm moving too fast to stop and I hit the ground with my butt. I try to catch myself with my stinging hands, and then they sting more. I scrape the skin off.
How you come to me saying something's mine when you fuck everybody who come to the pit? You the only one I been with.
I rush him again.
You better go to Big Henry with that bullshit.
Manny twists and shoves me away from him again, but I take the neck of his t-shirt with me when I go.
I know.
I say,
I know it's yours.
No, it ain't.
I'ma tell Randall. You think they don't know you a slut?
He spits this, and it is red. I have drawn blood. Manny shakes his head and snorts, skipping backward away from me. And then he's running down the narrowing road, being swallowed by the rustling brush. And I am shaking like the leaves, like the green around me, bent in the first fingering rush of the coming winds.
You are!
I yell. Tomorrow, I think, everything will be washed clean. What I carry in my stomach is relentless. Like each unbearable day, it will dawn. I watch Manny getting smaller and smaller. And my ribs break like dry summer wood, and burn, and burn, and burn.
The baby will tell, I scream. It'll tell.
But the wind grabs my voice up and snatches it out and over the pines and drops it there to die. Randall finds me sitting in the ditch. My legs are over the side, and the blackberry vines are scratching them, and there are ants crawling on my toes. But I don't care. Tears run down my face like water, and I cover my face with my shirt, but it's too hot and I can't make it go away. I can never make it stop, never nothing. When Jason betrayed Medea to exile so he could marry another woman, she killed his bride, the bride's father, and last her own children, and then flew away into the wind on dragons. She shrieked. Jason heard. What's wrong?
Nothing.
I tell him this through the cotton. We go into the white people's house.
Who?
You and me.
For what?
We need supplies, Randall says, and the day quiets for a moment, and I can hear the breath going in and out of him. Did he say something to you?
No.
I wipe my face, let the shirt slide away and down. My eyes feel swollen and warm as ripe grapes.
He ain't said nothing.
I need your help, Esh. I've never seen one part of Randall soften when he's awake. Not the long line of his arms, his legs like steel posts, his face always changing and making and saving and shooting things. But now, just for a breath, his face goes soft, and he looks like the baby pictures Mama took of him. Pictures of a Randall I'd never seen before.
Please, Esh.
I bend over and scrub my face dry with my shirt, but the tears still come.
I can't,
I sob.
Please,
Randall whispers.
Why?
I need you.
I scrub, wipe like I could wipe the love of Manny, the hate of Manny, Manny away. And then I get up, because it's the only thing I can do. I step out of the ditch and brush off the ants, because it's the only thing I can do. I follow Randall around the house, because it's the only thing I can do. If this is strength, if this is weakness, this is what I do. I hiccup, but tears still run down my face. After Mama died, Daddy said,
What are you crying for? Stop crying. Crying ain't gonna change anything.
We never stopped crying. We just did it quieter. We hid it. I learned to cry so that almost no tears leaked out of my eyes, so that I swallowed the hot, salty water of them and felt them running down my throat. This was the only thing that we could do. I swallow and squint through the tears, and I run. The start of my run through the woods with Randall is easier, where me and Skeet had sprinted hand in hand. Randall and I jog. I don't breathe hard at the beginning, and I force myself to ask questions to speak through the other pain.
Where's Junior?
Running around somewhere in here.
Skeet?
Him too.
There are no chattering squirrels, no haunted rabbits, no wading turtles in the woods. I don't know where they've gone, but there are none here. When I look up into the sky, the gray of it shaking as I run, I see birds in great flocks that would darken the sun if we could see it through the thickening clouds. They're all flying away, all flying north. The flocks break and dip and soar, and they are Randall's hand on a basketball, Skeet's on a leash, my legs in a chase. I watch them until they vanish past the trees, and then there's only us, the woods, the leaves rattling underfoot. Vines catch my arms, my head. We tear through until we break out into the clearing before the fence, the field, the barn. The house, and I drop to my knees, and Randall leans back, as if he would fall, both of us breathing hard, looking wet and newly born. There are no cows, no egrets. Randall leaps over the fence without using his hands, jumps high as a deer, but I crawl through on my stomach, my belly feeling like a bowl sloshing with water. I swallow most of it now, and my face is wet with mostly sweat. We pick our way across the field, kicking at cow droppings and mushrooms. The grass seems denser, thicker. There's no blue truck, no white man and woman, no chasing dog. The windows of the house and the barn have been boarded over with thick pieces of plywood. But when I put my ear to the board over the window that Skeeter broke while Randall holds me up, one arm around the soft push of my abdomen and his other arm like a set under my butt, I can hear the cows, big and stupid, shuffling in the barn, letting out little lowing complaints, knocking the walls as if they're looking for escape. I wipe my eyes.
"The house," Randall says.
Randall lets me down slow. The wood is rough under my hands. When I look at the boards in front of me, I see one dark splash like paint, one maroon tear from where Skeeter fell out of the window. It's his blood. I wonder if the old limping man smiled when he saw it, felt some kind of joy at the fact that the boy was hurt, or if the limping white man just shook his head as he boarded it over, the anger making the hammer fly bad, bend the nails crooked so that they curve like commas. The boards of the house are more even, more secure. They're not a patch-up of boards of different sizes like our house. There's no glass left peeking through cracks. Only plywood, clothes smooth and tight as eyeballs.
Here.
Randall tries to slide his finger between the board and the wall, but only his fingernail fits.
You try,
he says, but my fingers won't go in either. I don't even think Junior's could.
We should have brought a crowbar.
I shake my head.
Fuck!
Randall yells. He punches the plywood and it dimples in the middle. And there's the sound of breaking wood and breaking glass. When he pulls his fist back, he split the skin, smashed it, and he leaves blood on the board. He holds his hand. His face looks like how I imagine the glass behind the board looks, hard and lined. Each piece sliding away from the other where they split, black in the cracks. His eyes look wet.
Shit!
The blood pools in the valleys between his knuckles, rolls to waterfall between his fingers. He looks at me.
I couldn't do it even if I did have a crowbar.
You ain't Skeet, I say. The taste of my tears is like raw oysters.
We have to, Esh.
It's too thick.
We have to try.
Randall knees his chest like he's putting on pants, and then he kicks his heel hard into the center of the plywood where he dented it. The glass behind it shatters. He kicks again, and the wood splits. It sounds like a shot. Randall stops, and we both look around, scared. But there's no old man swinging a gun like an axe, no pink-dressed woman, just the cows lowing in the barn in the dark. The wind rustling past the trees, the air so wet and hot it could rain.
One more time, Randall says,
and then he kicks again, all of his muscles straining against the hot day, the sealed gingerbread house, and the board cracks in two but will not fall because of the nails, and Randall is crouching on the ground, clutching his bad knee.
The wrong knee,
he says, and blows on his kneecap like he scraped it bloody, and he's trying to blow away the pain and grit, like Mama did to our scrapes when we were younger. If the scrapes were on the front of our knees, she would put our dirty feet in the middle of her chest to clean the wounds, and we could feel her heart beating, strong as the thud of the ground when we walked, through our souls.
Look inside.
I put my eye to the slit, and there's darkness and the gauzy blow of curtains. Under the darkness, There's the empty smell of potpourri and pine saw. Two fingers can fit through the crack, nothing more.
There's nothing there. It smells clean. Probably took everything when they evacuated.
Randall rubs the skin around and below his knee. She looked like the type of woman that wouldn't leave nothing to spoil.
Randall laughs, but it's dry and scrapes past his throat like brown leaves scratched along the ground by wind.
Come on, Randall says.
Randall clutches his hand to his chest when he walks, hopping on his bad knee. I stop at the edge of the clearing and look back at the barn, the cows safe inside it. I can see them brushing against one another in the rank hay dark, their wet noses turned up toward the ceiling, wondering where the blue has gone, the bitter green grass, their bird familiars. How they'd crave the touch of a wing. On the walk back, it's weird to see Randall walking without swinging his long, loose arms. The wood is a sleeping animal, still empty. It's all wrong. I hear the rustling before Randall does, and I have to reach out to stop him since he's been watching his bad knee.
Look.
It's China. She drops something rust-colored and then shoves her nose in it from side to side like a screwdriver. Then she points with her head and dives into what she's dropped, rolling in it. She moves like smoke, the pink pads of her feet waving in the air. Her eyes are squeezed shut and she wears a wide, gum-bearing leer. Her fur is turning red.
What is that? Randall asks.
China must hear because she stops her squirming mid-roll and springs up, water frozen to ice, her lips sealed, her tail out. She sees us, looks down at her prize, and then raises her nose to the shimmering sky and barks once. Then she runs away. It's a dead chicken, opened raw and still warm. I imagine that it looks like the inside of my throat, pink with salt and blood.
That's ours, I say.
But Randall's silent as he starts walk-hopping toward the pit in the house.
What are you doing?
Randall says it like he's been at the park all day, running himself darker and straighter on the court, running himself until all he becomes is muscle and breath. He's tired, and he stands in the doorway of his room, the hall light on overhead, staring. It was a long walk. I shuffle down the hall, alcohol in hand, a wet paper towel for his fist, which he holds close enough to his face to suck. Junior sucked his knuckles until he was two. Then he stopped. Skeet is sitting on his bed, and China has her forelegs on his lap, her nose up. When her neck moves, she's graceful as the spider lilies that grow out on the bayou, bending out over the water. She's licking Skeeta's chin. There are pink smears from the chicken on her jaw. Skeeta is smiling, the kind of shy smile I haven't seen on his face since he used to steal pockets of Kool-Aid when we were younger and suck the bitter powder. His teeth electric blue or blood red. The puppies sigh and whine in their bucket, which is in the corner of their room, along with the 50-pound bags of dog food, the leashes, the half-shredded tires, China's blanket.
I'm bringing her inside for the storm.
Skeeta doesn't look up.
Fuck no, Randall says. I ain't leaving them in the shed.
Why not?
It ain't strong enough is why not. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It's too flimsy for them. This is a house, Skeeta, for humans, not for dogs.
Skeeta looks up, the shy smile gone. He stops China licking by muzzling her with both hands, and she's as still as any of the wrecks in the yard. The scabbed over wounds on her make her look as rusted as they are.
I'm not leaving them out there.
Randall's face shatters then, and all that's left is an open window.
I'm telling Daddy. Fucking tell him then.
Skeeta is all teeth, He lets go of